Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. It's G-O-D-S-W-R-D. And number 2, man@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So we thank the Lord for this blessed day. This is Saturday. For those of you that's following us, you know this means heart to heart. We're brotherly in the handmaidens. And Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful to you for this blessed day you have given unto us to give your word today. Amen. And as we await for my brother to head this out, I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast this day. May the Lord truly indeed bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. And all glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is Lord, he is God, and besides him there is no other. There's none before him, and neither will there be any after him who is to be greater. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us this day and keeping us. We thank you for the word that is going to go forth today. We thank you for the presence of your spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you are a keeper of your word. Thank you for strengthening us today in the name of Jesus Christ. And for your glory and your honor and your praise, we thank you for all what you're doing today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It is another blessed day. Glory to God. And we are thankful once again to be able to come on the broadcast to deliver the message of the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to those of you who are listening, no matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. I count it a privilege, and I am humbled that the Lord has opened such a door for us to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Glory be to God. And there's none greater than him. Amen. And his gospel will be standing in the end. And that's why we must give to you the word of life, and that which will stand through all the tests of time and that will never fail. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in these perilous days, in these perilous times, we are still to give the gospel. Amen. And to go forth steadfastness and be immovable, keeping the commandments and delivering the message of life to those who are in death, that they may have a chance to receive eternal life. It is very important that as a believer, you stay the course. And I know that it's been a testing and trial period, especially for you personally, but stay the course. Stay the course. I mean, the Lord Jesus told us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we have to hold to that word by faith. And I know it's a test. I know it's a trying time. I know that many times you want to turn loose of the rope, and I understand exactly what you're coming from. But we have to believe that he is a keeper of his word, and he said that his word will not return unto him void. Without that, we have nothing else, okay? And therefore, it is a testing period. And I know that maybe even your own family is against you. your stance for righteousness in Christ, but you can continue to stand because the Lord is going to uphold you, and he's going to show unto them that he got your back. I know it look like right now that he ain't showing up, that he's not showing that he supports you, but he does. There's a timing in the Lord that where he's going to show this thing, even to the family members that speaking against you, that say you crazy, he's going to show that he supports you. And even to those of you, some of you may be facing as believers backlash from family members because, quote, you decide not to take the vaccine. The Lord will show his hand in supporting you. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Because right now, you have many thinking that if you ain't took the vaccine, you are totally crazy, okay? And glory be to God. But the Lord is going to step in for his people. And even though that they've been ramping up some things to try to, quote, pressure you into taking vaccination. And like I said, for those who choose to take it, you know, that's your choice. I'm not going to be bashing you about it, hunting you down and all on you. That's your decision. But to those who chose not to, okay, why bash them? Okay, why bash them? But anyhow, I am grateful to the Lord once again for this day. And remember, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Stay the course. Many times you have to do like Jesus. You know, we don't talk about it much, but the Bible, Jesus had to get off to himself. He had to go off into the mountain or something like that. He had to get off to himself, okay? And many times you have to get off to yourself, okay? You and get along with God, okay? Because, hallelujah, sometimes you need that time where it's you and him one-on-one. And you can talk to him and hear the voice of the Lord today. I know that the enemy have ramped up the attacks against you, especially personally. But the word said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, okay, the tongue is going to come down. Hallelujah. Stay the course. Stay the course, glory. Because you are in a spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. You are in spiritual warfare. But our Lord has spoken victory over your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he has spoken his victory. Now you got to hold to the victory. Glory to God. I know. I understand. It looks real dark. Trust me. I know where you're coming from. I promise you I do. I'm not, Brother Nate's just not sitting up here talking to you. I promise you, I know exactly where you're coming from. And there's times, like I said, you said, man, forget this. You know, you've thought about it. Now, and I'm talking to the ones who have thought about it. You know, some Christians, oh, I don't think you're like, okay, well, okay, I am not talking to you then. Okay. But it the road gets tough. And now you can see why I don't care how much the sinner man and all these many prideful Christians boast about how tough and bad and all this stuff they are. The tough man I consider to be the one that can walk this way of Christ. He'll hold on to him to the end. That's who I consider the tough man. I don't care if you're the strongest naturally man here on earth or said to be the smartest or the richest. Okay. You're not the toughest man to me. The toughest one is the one that can walk the way of the Lord Jesus and hold on to him to the end. That's the one. That's the one who I really look at and commend, okay? I really look at, you know, and believe you me, it is a testing time right now. Glory to God. But the same Jesus that put his spirit within you is the same one that will bring you through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm very grateful. in Jesus' name for the word of the Lord and such opportunity as this today to give the gospel of Jesus Christ unto you who are listening today. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Some of you may have loved ones that are sick right now. May the Lord move upon them and strengthen them. And if there's any open doors, may he move upon them to repent and turn to you, to him in Jesus' name. You have loved ones you've been ministering the word of salvation to. And I pray that the Lord get a hold of them, of their spirit. And I pray that they will turn and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and be born again and be delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, we've told you before, and I say it again, this is the time. I know it looks rough, but Jesus is still doing miracles. We got to keep in mind that no matter how tough these times does not stop him from performing miracles. You know what will stop him? Is our unbelief. It's not the circumstances, but it's our unbelief. That's what will stay the hand of God. It's not the circumstances. Sometimes we look at the circumstances, and we are in need of a miracle, whether it's a healing miracle, a financial miracle, a spiritual miracle, any kind of miracle, and we look at the circumstances that's going on today, and we let that dictate and tell us that, hey, Jesus, he cannot perform a miracle today. But that's not true. Circumstances don't stop. What stays his hand is our unbelief. And it's a battle. I mean, I'm learning more and more from what the Lord told me in 2008. I am learning it more and more that, my God, you know, when he told me you finna really learn what faith is, now I understand why what he said, what he meant about you finna really learn. Because before the 2008, I really thought I had a lockdown clue on what faith really was. Good Lord. Jesus is showing me, no, son, you thought you had a lockdown on what it means, but you didn't. And he right, okay? I tell anybody, this faith walk is what you call the world referred to as the truth. That's this faith walk is the truth, okay? Hallelujah. Where you have to, like, totally depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit running around trying to do your own thing, this and that. You know, there's some things where your hands are tied. Some of y'all listening know what I'm talking about. You know, when you try to do, now don't get me wrong, there's things we have to do in dealing with the Lord. But there's some things you find out. There's that smaller category of things that you find out that is nothing you could do. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying, amen? You know, you other things, you could do this and that. God could work through that, but there's some things where your hand is totally tied. You didn't did all you can, but that's it. It's nothing else. Okay? Hallelujah. There's some people you've been ministering to for the longest, and they study still going the other way. They either showing you up front, they ain't paying you no attention, or they cussing you out, or they even, quote, pretend to act like they was listening, but in front of your face making a mockery. And it comes to a point sometime where God tell you to stop. Stop. And when he tell you that, that means it's totally resting in his hand. And for some of you, these are loved ones that you are greatly concerned about. Greatly concerned about. So I'm going to patch my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Another bless that have been bestowed upon us, brother, today. We are here on the planet Earth, preserved and reserved, kept, and we meet again and we share together and we come together, though we're 100 miles away, which is a miracle. What I call it, a telephonic heavenly miracle, creative miracle that we can talk and share together and fellowship and even worship and talk and preach and exalt and lift up and declare the goodness redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for another day. For this is the day that Yahweh has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For the Son of God, the sunlight of righteousness, the Son of God, has arisen with healing in his wings. So it's good to, again, brother on Talk Block Radio. This is Handmaiden's Night. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. How is the weather in your way?
Oh, we had a little rain. You know, and I know down there on the coast, they've been, I know Louisiana has been getting prepared for, what is it, Hurricane Ida. Ida, I think that's what it is. They looking at to become, what is it, did they say Category 4? But I know they've been preparing down that way. We've got some rain, some threatening skies, but other than that, it's a little bit cooler temperatures. It's not cool, but it's a little bit cooler, not as hot.
Wow, rain. Well, let's start out. I invite the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come and to inspire and reveal a portion put in our mouth for the good of man and for the nations of the earth. The words of life and word of life, even the gospel of redemption through Jesus Christ, might be shared and broken as pieces of bread to souls and lives that are looking for answers and eternal hope. We pray that the Holy Spirit would breathe on everybody, inspire them, quicken them, vivid them, convict them, humble them, correct them, chasten them, lift them, heal them, deliver them, restore them, bring them to wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank God. Well, tonight, it's a good night to exalt a part of God's ministry in Christ that seemed to be less than shared a lot. This is one of the portions of Jesus' primary portion, part of his ministry on earth, and now his ministry in the heavens at the right hand of the Father, that's going on to be carried on by his redeemed body of believers. So, hallelujah to Jesus. And you got your 69-4 all back, all going and everything. That's great.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to do a little bit more adjustments to it, but thank God it's back.
Yeah, after a while, a lot of people want to buy that automobile.
They've been wanting to ask me about it for the past 5-6 years, brother. And my answer has been the same every time, E&O.
Well, when they get past the 100,000 mark, you know, you let me know. Then I'll come down and try to urge you, okay, I think it's time to go. Let it go.
Well, I call him Uncle Jesse, so me and Uncle Jesse, we've been pretty good friends for the past 6 or 7 years. And really, I don't whole lot intend to break our friendship up.
Okay, that sounds good. It's just sort of like a friend, an old acquaintance, just keeping alive and old standby and all that. I remember when I was 5 years old, and at that time, they had T-model Fords, old T-model Ford. My grandfather had an old T-model Ford. I was 5 years old, and in rural Warren County, Mississippi, on a farm. I was, about between 4 and 5 years old. So he had an old T-model Ford, and, you know, that time, you know, you could crank them from the beginning, you know, the part where you crank them. If the battery wasn't
right,
hit, you just crank them, got the crank on it, and they would crank up, and maybe the car stop and the battery again, then you could crank, get that fella going by cranking it up. And I remember they said, they'd be going down the trap road, and something would happen, they'd get the crank out and get going again. And that old model Ford took us a lot of places. And by the way, they don't make cars like they used to. I'll put it that way. Automobiles are not, even though you pay $50,000 to $60,000 for one, it's just not up to quality. It's just not up to par. Amen. But this is the capitalist society, and so that's what it is, to make profit. Profit at any cost. So sometimes greed overshadows a lot of it. Now, I think that's one of the greatest sins, curses that America has fell into, called greed capitalism. Greed provision has went into greed overthrow of capitalism. So, but thank God we're in a free nation where we can call on the name of the Lord. I'm grateful that we are still able to broadcast and telecast the gospel. We're in a nation. So far, we have a certain liberty and freedom, so I'm taking advantage of it. Hallelujah. So you've been on healing. You started on healing, right, Tom?
Yes, sir. Just started it. What was it? I did the introduction Monday. Just started Monday, so I've been on it. I got five different sections, and I've done part one to the first four sections, and part five I would do the fifth section tomorrow for 30 minutes, part one to that fifth section, and that's how I've been going like that. So next week will be part two to Jesus' will, you know, kind of like that.
That's great. I got this little booklet up here. Been almost a year and a half, 2 years, about healing and wholeness. And I started a couple times and got a little spot, but I never finished this thing. I wrote, it's been over a year and a half, about reminded about healing, wholeness, and restoration. And I'm glad that you have been initiated to follow through and carry it on, because I had started on it, and I was receiving unction to do something with it, but then you know how you get sidetracked. I don't know, whether you just forget, or whether the devil just interfere with your mind and your thinking. I don't know. I don't want to put everything on him, but he gets the call for everything. So I just put something on my human frailty. I started, and it's one of the important subject in the gospel about healing, restoration, and wholeness. So we're going to women's night tonight, the evangelist, women's around the world, in respect to the women, mothers, and wives around the world. So a few minutes ago, I wrote a few things down.
I just want to remind you, brother, you got about 36 minutes.
Oh, 36 minutes? That's right. We only got an hour than that. Okay. All right. Is the sisters out there tonight? They want to join us early on the first mail in. To everyone out there, you may call in with a question or answer, or join us, or write us, or Instagram, or email us, or whatever it is. Please feel free to do so. Sister Anderson or Sister Helen, are you there?
I give them about a minute.
Okay. Well, tonight we're gonna piggyback with you, brother, because this is an important revelation truth about the gospel that need to be brought out in this day, since there is so much unbelief. And I start out with Matthew 24, when Jesus said, as we get closer to the end of the age, the end of his coming, and he said in Matthew, there was, will I find faith, will I find real faith in the earth? People that still believing what I taught and what I said. Will I find faith in the gospel and all of the gospel? And, you know, people, brother, they believe parts of the gospel, and they don't believe the other part of the gospel. They chop it off, call it dispensationist. So they'll believe certain parts of the teachings of Christ, as he taught, and the apostles, But in now, as we close to the end, we're in the what we call closing in the kingdom of God age, when Christ shall come. We move from the church grace area, now entering to this gospel, the kingdom, Jesus said, we preach is the last sign of my nearing coming. So as we understand, hearing the gospel, many Christians, there are a lot of things, some of things that some parts of Christianity are refusing to believe. And they have put a check mark and said, we don't believe all of that Jesus or the apostles did 2,000 years. We don't believe that's relevant or that's for us today. That's called unbelief and traditions of men. So unbelief have set in and clouded the men through the teachings and mind of man that they, many good people, wonderful, loving people, do not believe all the full plan of redemption of the gospel of Christ. They believe some part, and the other part they negate or delete or reject. But here we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, and his teaching has to be the same. His nature, his character is the same concerning the gospel of redemption. So if he has not, if he has changed any parts of the gospel that he taught, I'm not talking about the law, I'm talking about the gospel, the everlasting gospel, that Jesus, which is called the New Testament. If he had changed anything, if men had thought to, without understanding, has sought to change, to delete, server some parts of the gospel. Well, Jesus, you know, they'll say in some people, he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't work that way, man. He suspended that. He cut part of the gospel off, and that is not relevant today. That was just for the apostles. Then they don't believe that in the end time God has apostles. They believe that God don't change his church order, Ephesians chapter 4, the ministry. They don't believe they have apostles. They only believe they only have reverends. Some people believe they have popes, and some people, some areas, believe in bishops. And now, as we get close to the age and to the coming of Christ, we know right now we see in the last 25 or 30 years that a lot of people are getting the revelation that apostles are being to be restored. So you'll go among Christianity, among four gospel people, you'll see they're coming to the calling of the to a ministry of apostle. Now, this wasn't so prevalent 50 years ago. It was only prophets. They was calling themselves prophets. And that was the main ministry of people trying to be a prophet. Some were called of God, and some just want to be a prophet to get on the game. Then as we moved on to the last 25 years, we see ministries of apostles coming back to the earth. People call themselves apostles. Not everybody want to be an apostle. So you see in many churches today, you see apostles behind their name. Now, I'm not going to argue about whether they're legitimate apostles. They receive a legitimate call from God. I just leave that alone. But here we're talking about the restoring of the complete gospel of Christ concerning healing, health, restoration, deliverance, wholeness, and the miraculous. So we're going to talk about, do God want you in health? Do he want you to be in wealth? Do he want you to be in wholeness? Well, Jesus was a whole, complete person, and God is completely whole, and there's no default or defect in him. So he made Adam whole. And the first thing he made Adam, he made him completely whole. Hallelujah. Is that right, brother? He made it completely whole.
That's right.
And when he had no defects. There was no sickness, no disease, no plagues, or anything. He made him whole. Now, if he ain't want people to be sick, he would have made some people sick. Well, I'm going to make a second Adam, and he's going to be sick. He's going to have some mental orders, some defects in his body and his thinking. But God, the living God, Yah, who created all things, who's called Elohim, made everything as he was in his image whole. The Bible says he made Adam, and he created him in his own image and likeness. Now, sickness, disease, and defect was not his likeness. Is that right, brother? That was not his likeness or image, right?
Amen.
So he didn't create no defect stuff, did he? That I know when he created originally.
Amen.
There was no, in his creation, he said, I'm created man. When they got together in heaven and had a heavenly council, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and whoever the elders were there, he said, let us make man. And he said, I'm going to make him my image and my own image likeness. Wow. God said, I'm going to create a man in my own image and likeness. And that tells you right there that has he changed? Does he still want us to be redeemed back into his own image and likeness? That's what redemption and restoration mean. Restoration and redemption mean bring you back to the original. So let's see when the devil came in and brought sin, sickness, darkness, plague, sorrow, grief, and curse upon the world and upon man. When man obeyed the devil in the garden, then chaos came and darkness came and caused rebellion, created chaos, sin, death. And so today we're going to say the Lord wants us to restore the gospel being restored, the redemptive, reconciling gospel means that the Lord wants us to be restored in every avenue. Healing, health, restoration, deliverance, wholeness, and walking in the miraculous truth of God is our inheritance right in Christ. That's what it means when he said, I came to redeem you from the curse. Now, Galatians 3:13 says something, right, brother? What's that? Is that Galatians 3:13?
Yes.
Well,
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Well, then we got to find out. See, Christ came to one of the things he came to do as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God, in his first coming, and his sacrificial death as the Lamb of God, and resurrection victory, as the Lamb, he came to redeem us from something, right? He said from something, right?
Amen.
And he called it what? A curse. Notice
Amen.
What he called it. The curse. Now, the curse of the law, Adam broke the law in the garden, and he broke the law of God, and he was not to touch the knowledge of good and evil. And the law of Moses came, and it reveals sin, and everyone that violates the law, there's a curse. So the Lord Jesus came to redeem us from the after effects of the sin nature of Adam and the curse of the law. Curse. Notice what it said, brother. It said curse, didn't it? And it said no.
Amen.
Like, we put all these nice names to it. Well, you know, God said you got to have this, and God wants you to have that. I thought he said he came to redeem us from the curse of the law, brother.
Amen. He did. We want to welcome on Sister Anderson, too, brother. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
Okay.
God bless you. Amen. Continue on.
Well, there, Sister Amen. Anderson, welcome. I did beloved, Sister. Great. And welcome you.
Amen.
Starting back at the why did Jesus come into this world and lay down his life? He came to redeem us from something. And it's a lot of people are not clear upon what did he die and suffer for, and what did he rise on the third day? Why was that? It was important that he get up, because if he had died and not got up, brother, we have no eternal hope. So
mm-hmm.
if he hadn't got up and conquered death, hell, and the grave,
yeah.
we'd be still in a mess. I mean. A lot of people think that all he got to do is die. No, but if he didn't get up, we'll be still in a mess. So let's not leave that he won the complete victory. Okay. The curse of the law. What is this curse he came to redeem us from? Anybody know? What is the curse? Can you name five segments of the curse of the law? Anyone name the five parts of the curse of the law that he came to redeem us from? Because it's very important
mm-hmm.
that we know what he came and paid, what he ransomed his life and paid for. Now, if you don't know, when you go to Cicero, you don't know what the person paid for, they could cheat you. Oh, well, okay, here's two items. Wait a minute, hold on. There's five things that have been paid for. I got the receipts. Oh, yeah, that is right. It's five things. It's not two. So, see, ignorance, which will cause you to lose out from the benefit, right?
Amen.
So, a lot, the devil, one of his very important weapon is to keep us blind and ignorant. I will not have you ignorant of the word of truth. And so ignorance, and through man's not seeking, or man's tradition, or man thinking, he keeps us blind and ignorant to certain things. He loves that. He wants you to stay as ignorant as you can, not knowing the will of God in everything. He just he don't want you to know the will of God in everything. No. You might get all the benefits. I said you might get all the benefits.
Yeah.
Now, what is it?
Maybe.
We'll start with this, the curse of the law. The average Christian, you ask them, say, what are the curses of the law that Jesus came to pay, purchase, redeem us from? Well, give us eternal life. Yeah, that's the most important one. Going to heaven. Oh, yes, absolutely. That is the most important one. But it's not the only one. Let me say it again. Most people think that God, just died before you go to heaven. Yes, that is part of the package and the most important part, that you have eternity with God, with Christ. That's true. But what about the four other things that he died to redeem you from? Well, let me see. I have to think about that. So what are the curses of the law, bro? Anybody give me a hint? Could somebody give me a hint? What does 3 and 13 says, Galatian Paul's explained this, that he came to redeem us from the curse of the law, the curse of the law.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of figure out, what is these curses? Because, people call all this stuff that devil is doing, they call it a blessing, and the devil is doing everything to us and paining us and sorrowing us and grieving us and afflicting us and disease us and making us poor and all. And they say, well, this is just the will of God, this is just the will of God. See, when you really don't know, and you want to say, I don't know, and you just call everything the will of God. We just say everything. Oh, this is, well, he had to go that way. He had to die that way. He had to flick that way. He had to bear that. He's bearing it for God. And it's bad. Being ignorant, devil want us, not knowing, not understanding. We just said everything comes from God. You know what that brother Nate? They just said God did this and God did this and God, everything God did. That's because when you don't really know and you're ignorant of the truth, you say everything that happened is God, right? It's God's will.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And the devil, he just run on down the road laughing. He said, because Paul said, my brother, I will not have you ignorant. Not only of the law, but not ignorant of the devices of the devil to outsmart us and to deceive us. I would not have you not knowing what the will of God is, Ephesians 5 says. I would not have you ignorant. Well, why would God want us to be ignorant? He sent his word. He sent his word, brother. Yes.
Amen.
He sent his apostles and his prophets. Yes. He would not. And then he sent us the written book. He sent us the written word. So anybody wanted to know, most everyone now can get about it. In the known, what we call the civilized world. In every part of, maybe it's over 70% of people can get the Bible. There's a few over 25% may not. But I would say over 75% people can get the law, the prophets, the apostles, and the gospel. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's go. What are the curses that we call in? This is the will of God, this just got to happen. This is the way it got to be. I hear that when I was a little kid. Well, when I was a little kid and good, wonderful caring, Christian, loving people who did not understand some other things of the scripture, but they understand about love. Now, the most important thing, they understand about loving one another. And that's another thing. A lot of people understood that part, which is great. But then there are some left out parts.
Mm-hmm.
The curse of the law. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to school me, please? Help me
mm-hmm.
out. I'm on this island over here, way over in the northern sea, and you just came to me, and I just want to know.
Amen. But Deuteronomy tells us about the curses, and the word tells us that Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And we let the devil jump all over us because Deuteronomy tells us, even though Matthew tells us that Jesus gave his 12, he gave them the authority for them to go out and for them to heal all manner of sicknesses and disease. And Deuteronomy talks about these curses like inflammation, and it talks about that, you know, these different things of the body, these different curses and things that comes up on the body. We believe that, yep, Jesus died that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly, but we forget about, we just want to ask him to forgive us for our sins, but we forget about all of the curses of the body, which is sickness and this inflammation in the body. And a lot of times we are the reason these things come up on us. We cause them because of habits that we have. And a lot of them come up on us because we do not know that Jesus has already paid the price for all of this consumption and infection and cancer. And then we can go over into Malachi. And Malachi tells us that these things are a curse. They are a curse. And the things of the body that we believe that, oh, it's God's will that I have cancer, or God's will that I have heart attack, a bad heart, or it's God's will that I have this. Now, these things are curses. And Deuteronomy tells us about all of these curses. If we were to read in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, that the price has already been paid, and we do not know about that the price have been paid already. So we just believe this is meant to be.
Okay. Thank you, beloved evangelist.
We have our other sister on here. God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless.
Shalom.
God bless. Amen.
Okay. We want to hear from you, dear beloved.
Okay, I'm sorry I was late just getting on.
Oh, you! I know you're busy. You're a busy bee, Jay. We're going to have you get you a chauffeur and a couple of servants here to kind of help you out.
Now, you know what? I overslept for real.
Okay, I know how that go. Okay, now, we're talking about Christ, Galatians 3:13. Paul explained was blessing to the new Christian in Galatia in Asia about what Christ, part of his purpose and mission and ministry was, his first coming as the Lamb of God, to redeem us, to reconcile us, and also to justify. Three things he says, to redeem us from, that we may be justified and be reconciled. Now, he says, teaching them about the curse of the law that he came to redeem us from. Now, I want to know, because a lot of people are calling a lot of things that come from God, and God did this and God did this. So I want to know more about what he came to redeem me from, why I live on the earth. I know the greatest thing to redeem us from the curse, redeem us from the penalty and the power of sin, and from the nature of Adam, to deliver us and redeem us from that. Now, and give us the hope of eternal life in Christ. But some people in Christianity only teach a part, a certain part of the gospel. And they're still God's people and good people. It's just that through ignorance or traditions or thinking of man or dispensational teachings or whatever, they have left out a part of the gospel, the benefits that belongs to them. Now, you mentioned in John 10 that Jesus said, I come that you may have life. But then he said there's another part, that you may have life abundantly.
Amen.
Now, I understand when we get redeemed and our spirit get made alive unto Christ and we're redeemed and Christ become our Lord and living, that we can stop there and say that's the most important part, and I agree. But that's what the devil want to cheat us from that other part, blind us and keep us from that part. So, Sister Helen, what will you think about what are the curses of the law? Could you name me five things that he came, the five segments of the curse of the law?
He came to redeem us, you know, from our sins, from sickness, from poverty, from
Okay. All right. Okay, that was good. Brother Nate, I need a little help here. I'm on the island, Aegean Island. I need somebody to guide me a little light on that, you know. That word, the Bible says the entrance of thy word giveth light. So the revelation of it must be in the word. The entrance of thy word giveth light as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the revelation of this, the truth of it, must be revealed in the word. Okay. Want to help me kind of look at that, Brother Nate, a little bit?
The curse of the law was threefold. It was poverty, sickness, and it was death, which is divided into three, which is spiritual death, physical death, and the second death.
Okay. Now, is there any things attached that we're delivered from that enter into those areas? Now,
yes, sir.
Now, as we read in the law of Moses, in the 27th chapter and 28th chapter, from the 26th, 27th, 28th chapter, under the law of Moses, there was blessing and curses.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the curses of the violation of the law of God. Now, they had rules. They had 680 additional man religious rules that ruled over Israel, 683. Now, but the Lord God had made a law that stands forever. The rules, they went away when Jesus died. All these 680 rituals and rules, they went away. They were not the law. They were just man-made rules that guide them in society and different stuff that man made up. But the law came directly from God, the revelation of the law of God that stands still. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. My mission was to fulfill the law and fulfill what all the prophets spoke of me. Now, the curses that you read would befall them if they didn't do certain things. But grace and redemption redeemed us by faith, which our inheritance we receive and claim and can claim. But ignorance and unbelief will stop us from the things that you see. Ignorance and belief, you can have $1 million in the bank.
Right.
Invest it in real estate and not know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't benefit not one bit. You could be a multimillionaire, bank or land you own, and you don't have no knowledge of it. And it's just like you don't know. You had $1 million, but you don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have $10 million in the bank and don't go draw from it. Don't know that you have a right to go and get it and draw from it. It don't benefit none.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil's job is to keep you with two things, ignorance and unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance and unbelief.
Yeah.
One of his greatest tools, Satan used on all flesh and all offensive Christians, ignorance of the word of God, the will of God, and unbelief. There's the other two things that he used too, but two of the greatest tools of Satan is ignorance and unbelief.
Amen.
Wow. So let's see. The curses of the law. The first, like Brother Nate said, it started out, the first one was spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual death. But there's three parts to the death sentence. Three parts, like Brother Nate said. There is the spiritual death. That means your spirit is separated from God dead. Adam immediately, when he sinned, his spirit was separated. Then physical death started coming upon him. Then at the end of his life, there is called the eternal death, forever cast away. But then behind that, he says, there comes another curse. And he talks about the curse of this grief that will be upon all men, grief, this kind of grief and sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Grief and sorrow and agony. And he called it, part of it, we think that the greatest grief is the physical, but the greatest grief is mental and emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And now sickness is terrible of itself, physical death, but to have a mental and emotional oppression is one of the greatest things that's upon human race today. And the sorrows of the heart are not having any hope, which lead people despairing in oppression, which is oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Sorrow and grief of the heart having no hope. Then another thing is a plague that loosed upon your body called sickness and disease and infirmity. Then he says the area of poverty, fear, worry, and oppression and sorrow will cut your life short, and the devil will cut you short and your lifespan with grief and sorrow. So all of this is the curse of the law. No hope. This is the emotional and mental part.
Mm-hmm.
See, the devil is the greatest one of the part that he want to get with people with is their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Their minds and the mental and emotional. There are more people on mental stress now and sorrow and grief and agony of heart and no peace and no rest. That is what we call the curse of not having the light of God in you. The light of God must shine in your darkness, because when man is separated from God, he walks in darkness. Now, we talk about the physical part, but man is made of three parts. And so the devil is going to afflict three parts, not just the physical. Not just the physical. And he's going to curse the land. The land is cursed with sin. It won't produce. So that means poverty and oppression and agony about supply and need, about our supply and need.
Amen.
You notice what he said? David says, I like that little, we said, but we don't look into the, my Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, we said it all the way down from our kids, but we really don't understand what he really talking about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now, we can misuse that if we want to. So anyway, we got about, what,
got about,
5, 10 minutes
got about
left?
5 minutes, brother.
Okay. We'll continue on tomorrow about what Jesus, when he took those 39 stripes, he was tortured. And we want to know, why was it necessary for him to be tortured? What did the torture consist of? Now, most people think they look, you know what they look at when we look at the September? We look only at one part of it. That's just human part. We look at one part of the suffering of Jesus. We don't look at the other two parts.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't consider why was necessary for him to suffer in three important areas to redeem us. Most people say, oh, yeah, well, he got this one thing. I said, yeah, that's true, but that's not all of it. That's not all of it. He had to redeem us, the whole man. I said he had to redeem us and purchase the whole person. That he had to suffer certain things during that 24, 48 hours. He had to endure that suffering, all for me to redeem me from. Everybody said from. Hell, the devil, from. We got to do a lot of, Jesus said, I put the word in your mouth, and then he said, he sent his word. You know what he said in Psalm 107 and 20? He sent his word. Yes. And why did he send the revelation of his word? Jesus was the word made flesh.
Yes.
Now, we have the written word, right? But that's two parts, the written and the living word. Christ was the living word, the written word. Now, he sent his word to heal us and deliver us from our destruction. Wow. So tomorrow we'll go on why and what have we been redeemed from and yet don't know it, even 2,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to continue on what did Christ suffer and agonize and sorrow and grief. He was wounded. So Isaiah has a certain parts about it when he talks about his suffering. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Whom the arm of Yahweh has revealed concerning his son. He was bruised. Why was he bruised?
Yes. Father iniquities.
And so a lot of people miss all the parts of it. Why was he suffer that and suffer that and suffer this?
Mm-hmm.
They think it's just one part. And so they just focus on the one part. But not so. Everything he suffered was for a reason.
Yes.
Everything he suffered and endured was for a buying and a purchasing of something for us. So tomorrow night, we'll continue on healing, health, restoration, deliverance, wholeness, and miracles. And Brother Nate is going, having a series on this, and so we'll be, he'll be going more elaborate in it all week long. And he's doing a series on that so everyone can listen to that because he's going in depth and going from step to step, from step staircase to step. So I hope that everyone would tune in to Brother Nathaniel Hunt all week long as he stair-step us on about, he's talking about healing. I'm going to talk about healing and restoration and deliverance, how they tied. And he's going to talk about part of healing and health and restoration, too. So we'll just be doing this together, and hopefully everybody will get something out of it. So
Amen. We
praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Nate, you'll be coming on every 4 days, 4 days on this?
It's really going to be 5 days. It's going to be 5 days.
Okay.
Five different parts.
And you'll be stair-stopping, laying the staircase, going all the way to complete mystery of the complete restoration of man. Wow. Well, I know that's going to be great, and I hope everyone there listened to our brother that the Lord had given him. And he also had reminded me that a year and a half that he had urged me to do this, but now Brother Nate is stepping up to the plate where I didn't, so I commend him. I take my whooping. I take my whooping. So we love you wherever you are. And wherever you're listening, you can make a decision about whether you will remain in the family of Adam or you want to get into the family of Christ. You can make a choice tonight, today. If you make a choice, and you can do it actually with your heart and your mouth. If you're not able to speak, you can do it in your heart. If you can, you're mute, you can call upon Jesus in your heart. He will hear your heart. He'll hear your desire and say, come save me, a sinner. I'm cut off from your presence. I don't know you. I understand you died for my sins and rose again. I believe that you paid the price for my redemption and my deliverance. So tonight, I make a step to receive you and believe you and invite you to come live in my life. Transform me. Give me a new heart and a new spirit. Put me in the family of God by faith. In Jesus' name, I trust. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget another heart-to-heart broadcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Look for the advertisement then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.